Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Jay bringing you another episode of the GSMC Technology Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Network. We got a lot to cover this episode. Let's just jump right on in. So the first one is an interesting little app that caught my eye because I've played HQ Trivia before. I actually was really excited about it for a while. I had a lot of fun playing it. It seemed like really cool, a nice way to earn some money, but sadly, like many people, I never won. I always got stumped or savage questions, you know. And I just kind of gave up. I'm like, you know what, this was fun for a while, but I'm never winning ever. It's just the way it is. But so this deals with HQ Trivia, where it's called HQ Words. So it says HQ's expansion Beyond Trivia is emerging from beta. But the question is whether it's different and accessible enough to revive the startup's growth. HQ Words is available to everyone today within the HQ Trivia app after several weeks of closed beta testing of the Wheel of Fortune-style game. The launch will be the first big move of Russ Yasupov now that he's been officially renamed CEO a week after the tragic death of fellow co-founder and former CEO Colin Kral. Kral's passing comes at a tough time for HQ. Its daily player count has declined since it became a phenomenon a year ago. The novelty has begun to wear off, and with so many experienced trivia whizzes, cash jackpots are often split between enough people that winners only get a few bucks. Interrupting your days or nights to play at a particular time can be inconvenient compared to the legions of always available other games. Yasupov, who is HQ's CEO until Kral took over in September, will have to figure out what will attract casual crossword players and those who flock to Zynga's Words with Friends, the kind of disruptive thinking Kral excelled at. In HQ Words, players compete live to solve word puzzles by correctly choosing which letters are hidden. You can find the game inside the existing HQ Trivia iOS and Android apps. Host Anna Roisman pluckily provides a clue, and then dispenses hint as the 25-second timer for each puzzle counts down. If the clue is gemstone and you're shown space, 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 M, space, 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 you have to type D, I, A, O, and N in any order. Choose three wrong letters or fail to fill out the words and you lose. You'll spin a wheel before the game starts to get one letter that's automatically revealed each round. Make it through 10 rounds and you and other winners get a cut of the cash prize, with the three who solved the puzzles fastest scoring a bigger chunk of the jackpot. The startup earns money through selling you extra lives inside Words that will probably feature sponsored games and product placement like Trivia does to pull in marketing dollars. Words will go live daily at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time after Trivia's 6 o'clock game, so you can turn it into HQ Hour with family and friends. The concern is that at its core, Words is still quite similar to Trivia. They're both real-time, elimination round-based knowledge games played against everyone for money. Both at times feel like they use cheap tricks to eliminate you. A recent Words puzzle asked you to name a noisy instrument, but the answer wasn't kazoo, but buzzing kazoo, something I'm not sure anyone has ever formally called it. Given the faster-paced interaction, even tiny glitches or moments of lag can be enough to make you lose a round. An HQ Words beta game earlier this week failed to show some users the keyboard, causing mass elimination. The pressure to get HQ's engineering working flawlessly has never been higher. HQ could benefit from a better onboarding experience that lets people play a sample game solo to get them hooked and tie them over until the next scheduled broadcast. Minigames or ways to play along after you're eliminated could boost total view time and the value of brand sponsorships. A quiet mode that silences the between-round chatter and distills HQ to just the questions and puzzles might make it easier to play while multitasking. Head-to-head versions of trivia and words might help HQ feel more intimate, and there's an opportunity to integrate peer-to-peer gambling like Prove It Trivia. And branching out beyond knowledge games into more social or arcade-style titles would counter the idea that HQ is just for brainiacs. Around the height of HQ's popularity, it raised a $15 million funding round at a $100 million valuation. That seems justified, given HQ will reportedly earn around $10 million in revenue this year. Gamers are fickle, though, and today's Fortnite can wind up tomorrow's Pokemon Go. A flash in the pan that fizzles out. Words is a great bridge to a world outside of trivia, but HQ must evolve, not just iterate. Yeah, when I saw this, I was like, interesting. And it definitely grabbed me, because like I said, I had tried HQ Trivia for a while. For a while, I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. I was jazzed when the prizes got bigger and bigger. But like I said, I always got either savage questioned out or just stumbled at a question or something like that. Never, ever, ever won ever in like months. And yeah, I've never really been big on word games. I've played Scrabble. I've played things like that before, but I don't know. It sounds like this would be, like the article says, another Brainiac game where if you know words really, really well, then yeah, you might do great. But if you don't, or like, yeah, Buzzing Kazoo. If I saw that, I would probably want to throw my phone across the room because I'm like, nobody calls it that. It's just Kazoo. What the heck? So I don't know. I get HQ Trivia wanting to jump outside of just trivia. I get it. And you know what? It's not a bad idea to do something like this. It's really not. But at the same time, I'm like, you know what, though? I don't really think it's a good, this is the right way to go. I just don't. Because like me, I'm like, oh, great, something else is going to make me feel stupid. That's how I feel about it. I'm going to go on this and think, you know, oh, yeah, I'll do good, and I'll win money, and, you know, and prizes and all this great stuff. And I'm probably going to just do just as bad as trivia, if not worse. Like I said, like, especially if they throw in stuff like that where you're like, okay, we're going to throw in this version of the word. No one ever says the word that way, though, so it's not the correct grammar anyway. So I don't know. Me, personally, this does not draw me back to HQ. I'm sorry, it doesn't. Okay? It just doesn't. I'm not going to go, oh, good, I'm going to go download the app again. Nope, I'm not doing it. I'm sorry, I'm not. You know, I've tried to be patient. I tried, you know, again and again and again to, you know, even there when I was at, getting ready to see Crimes of Grindelwald one night, they had like a Harry Potter themed HQ trivia. I'm like, you know what, I'll try that, try to help some of my friends win in that. And they threw out questions. You're like, what Harry Potter fan would actually know this? Seriously. You're like, hey, I'm a Harry Potter fan. I've read all the books and all that stuff. And they threw in stuff. I'm like, who would know this? And I think the word thing, it sounds like it's going to be the exact same way. And I'm sorry, that gets frustrating after a while. It just does. You're like, you know what? I'm trying to do well here. I'm trying to do good. I want to have fun. I'd like to win, you know, big prizes, not just, oh boy, I won $5. Like, I'll say that too. For HQ Trivia, when I do get savage questions and I'm like, oh, it's like $10,000 or $50,000, $100,000. And I see people win only like 5, 10, 15, 20, or even just 100 bucks. Well, $100, I'm a little annoyed, but $5, $1, $10, $3, $4, I'm like, I don't care I didn't win, because I'm like, that's nada, that's zero zilch, that's nothing. So, I don't care. I'm like, you know what, if it's something like measly money like that, I'm like, I don't care I didn't win. And I fear that HQ Words is probably going to be the same way. If I do win, you won 80 cents, oh boy, or $2, or $3, or $5, I'm like, oh, goody, that's not going to help me out at all. Yay, you know, it's like if you won on Wheel of Fortune and you won, and it's like, okay, here's your $100. It's like, wait, what? No, like, you don't want to win that. You want to win more than that. And HQ is the same way. So I think this is a good step in the right direction, but I don't think it's I think they should keep trying. It's like, you know what, HQ Word sounds nice, but try something else. I mean, like, yeah, just come up with something else, because I have a hunch this is going to go a lot like HQ Trivia, because I do. I know I am tired of HQ, and I have friends who are tired of it. I've had family who's gotten tired of it, because you're getting stumped all the time. You're never winning. If you do win, you're not winning anything worthwhile or enough, you know, of the cash prize. So I don't know. I'm not going to lie, though. I might try this. I'm tempted. It's a free app still. But I don't know if I'd play it for long. So, yeah. So that's all I have to say about that. Like I said, it is available now, so if you do want to try it out, it is available on iOS and on Android. So we're going to take our first break right now. We'll be back in a moment with more sci-fi news. I mean, technology news. Sorry, forgive me.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Hello, everybody. This is Jay back with some more technology news. So this next one is another really cool robot article. I want to say, I can't help myself. When it comes to this podcast, I really like talking about any kind of cool robot articles I find and topics. And this, I think, is one of the better ones I've found in a while. I'm really kind of intrigued about it. And again, there was a little video for this to show this little guy in action, and it actually looks pretty cool. And the implications for it, I think, are going to be great if they can get all the bugs worked out. And I mean that. So, this is called the Animal Robot, A-N-Y-M-A-L Robot. So there's a lot of talk about the many potential uses of multi-leg robots like CheetahBot and Spot. But in order for those to come to fruition, the robots actually have to go out and do stuff. And to train for a glorious future of sewer inspection and helping rescue people, probably, this Swiss quadrupedal bot is going deep underground. This robot is called Animal, and it's a long-term collaboration between the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology, abbreviated there as ETH Zurich, and a spin-off from the university called Anibotics. Its latest escapade was a trip to the sewers below that city, where it could eventually aid or replace the manual inspection process. Animal isn't brand new. Like most robot platforms, it's been under constant revision for years. But it's only recently that cameras and sensors like LiDAR have gotten good enough and small enough that real-world testing in a dark, slimy place like sewer pipes could be considered. Most cities have miles and miles of underground infrastructure that can only be checked by expert inspectors. This is dangerous and tedious work, perfect for automation. Imagine instead of yearly inspections by people, if robots were swinging by once a week. If anything looks off, it calls in the humans. So that means this is not something that's trying to take over human labor, just kind of try to take some of the danger for humans out of it. It could also enter areas rendered inaccessible by disasters or simply too small for people to navigate safely. But of course, before an army of robots can inhabit our sewers, where have I encountered this concept before? Oh yeah. The robot needs to experience and learn about that environment. First outings will be only minimally autonomous, with more independence added as the robot and team gain confidence. Testing the robot's sensors and skills in a real-world scenario provides new insights and tons of data for the engineers to work with. For instance, when the environment is completely dark, laser-based imaging may work. But what if there's a lot of water, steam, or smoke? Animal should be able to feel its surroundings, its creators decided. So they tested both sensor-equipped feet with mixed success and the possibility of Animal raising its paw to touch a wall, to find a button, or determine temperature or texture. This latter action had to be manually improvised by the pilots, but it's clearly something it should be able to do on its own. Yeah, so in the video that was attached to this article so generously, we do get to see, like, you know, a bit about the team, a little bit about the team talking about this robot. and got to see it a bit in action. It actually was really cool. They showed, they tried it with different feet. Some of the feet, you know, could walk in the sewer perfectly. There was one pair of feet they tried where it fell over on its side because it just didn't have enough traction. Because it was wet down there. It was slimy. It was, again, not really a long video. It was only maybe like a minute or two long. Maybe if that, you know. But like some robot videos I've seen, you know, in the past, it gave you an idea of, hey, what they've been working on, all the work that's been put into it. The robot itself, it was kind of cool. It could compact, and then they were able to push it in the sewer. Once they put it in the sewer, they were able to, like, you know, have it uncompact. And it is. It's a four-legged robot. And I think it had the, like, lenses at the front that they kind of consider it as eyes. And, yeah, it just, like, it really, it sounds to me like this is something that I wouldn't be against them doing, because it does. It just sounds like, hey, you know what? It'll catch problems earlier than, say, a human inspector would. And it could just be minor stuff like, hey, a wire's loose. Or, hey, look, you know, a pipe has burst and it's, or a pipe is just leaking water somewhere. Or sewage or something like that. You know, instead of, like, say, like, you know, inspector goes out there every month or every year and they catch all these things at once. And again, like, you know, if it catches, hey, this is going on, then it can go, hey, let's get, you know, a human inspector, maybe even one or two inspectors down there just to, you know, look at it closer and maybe, like, you know, fix it. So it sounds like it's a pretty cool little concept. I actually kind of like the idea of this, because this is like another one of those robot things where they're not trying to steal jobs from anybody. They're not trying to do that. That's not their goal. That's not their hope. That's not their ambition. They just want to make the job a little bit easier for human inspectors, and it sounds like human repair people. And that's not a bad thing. It's really not. It's like, hey, if you go in a situation where, you know, a pipe is leaking and the pipe bursts and water gets spewed everywhere, or something falls on you, what's going to happen? You're like, you know, you're kind of stuck down there, and other people have tried to get down there, and long process trying to get you down there, where, you know, say a robot goes down there and it happens, they know, okay, well, we know that's happening now, so we all didn't get hurt. But I don't know. That would also be like, well, now the robot is down there, and can we get the robot back? Can we repair the robot, or we just have to build a new robot? I don't know. It's kind of, you know, and like a number of the robot articles I've brought on here lately and the robot things I've heard of, this is just a testing period still. It's something they're saying, okay, you know, can this do this? Can this do that? How can we make this better? How can we make that better? How can we make this, you know, more mobile? How can we help it, you know, get used to these environments more? So it's just, it's still in the testing phase. I would imagine this isn't going to come out, oh God, it could be years. It really could. I mean, and if it, when it, when and if it does become available, it's not going to necessarily, I don't think, be affordable to everybody. I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong. But I don't think it's going to be just like you're going to see it, like, you know, in your corner store or, well, not Radio Shack, but where would you go to see stuff like that? No, Best Buy. Well, yeah, come to Best Buy and buy, like, you know, this really cool Animal robot. Only, like, you know, $500 or $1,000. You know, it does so much. I don't think so. I think this is something, if it does become available to the public or at least certain companies, you probably have to order it through the company itself. You're not going to find it on Amazon or eBay, at least I don't think. You know, I don't think you're going to find it there. And it'll be something that, like, you know, they're not even going to do that until they're sure, okay, here's what we know it can and can't do. And, you know, like, it'll come without, imagine, an instruction manual, like, here, how this works and how this does that. And, like, how long the battery lasts and charges and things like that. Because, yeah, so it's something that, like, caught my eye. And I thought, hey, this sounds kind of cool, in my opinion. It really does. I mean that. But at the same time, you know, it needs a little bit of work. It needs a little bit of fine-tuning before I'm like, oh, yeah, this is awesome. Do it now. I can't wait. No, it's just not the way it is. It's like, so, yeah, but it's, you know, a step in the right direction. And it's something that, you know, I'll definitely be sure to, if I hear more about it in the future, to gladly bring it to this podcast. Because, yeah, this isn't the only robot like this, like the article said. It's just not. It's one of a couple of different ones that are being tested and tried out for implications and possibilities and, you know, things they could use it for and stuff like that. You know, like, they've been doing that with drones, they've been doing that with robots, you know, and they just want to find ways, you know, I think, make jobs easier and, you know, do things that we just can't do. Like, so I think it's not a bad idea. I applaud the team for doing this and checking into this, and I'm curious to definitely learn more about it. We're going to take ourselves another short little break real quick, and we'll be back in a moment with more technology news.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Hello everybody, this is Jay, back with some more technology news. So this last one, I'm actually really excited for, even though, to be perfectly honest, I haven't played one of these games in a minute. So the series I'm talking about, I originally got introduced to Devil May Cry, and I thought it was a fun game, I'm not going to lie. I got stuck at a part, and I kind of couldn't get past it, and it kind of, you know, gave me a bit of a sour taste for the game, but it was fun, it was cool, you're running around as a half-demon, you know, taking out demons and monsters and creatures, and at one point you, I believe, fight your brother. I can't remember what the main boss is, I'm not going to lie, but it's been a really popular series. They've done Devil May Cry, you know, 2, 3, 4, there's been some handheld versions. It's just been overall a really popular series of games. There's been lots and lots of games in this series. I think even the last one had a new character named Nero, I think? Yeah, so you weren't really as Dante or as Dante's brother Virgil, which I think in 3 you could play as, I think. So, yeah, like I said, I haven't played this series for a while, but I have kind of been interested with the series, and it looks like it's been a really popular series. So, I'm here to tell you a little bit about the next game in the series. Devil May Cry 5, which I did see a little bit about at E3 earlier this year, in this summer, and I'd be lying if I said I wasn't kind of impressed with it. I wasn't rather blown away. I was. I mean that. So prepare to get downright demonic with this brand new entry in the over-the-top action series, blending its signature high-octane stylized action and otherworldly and original characters the series is known for. The director Hideaki Itsuno and the core team have returned to create the most insane, technically advanced, and utterly unmissable action experience of this generation. The threat of demonic power has returned to menace the world once again in Devil May Cry 5. The invasion begins when the seeds of a demon tree take root in Redgrave City. As the hellish incursion starts to take over the city, a young demon hunter, Nero, arrives with his partner Nico in their Devil May Cry motorhome. Finding himself without the use of his right arm, Nero enlists Nico, a self-professed weapons artist, to design a variety of unique mechanical Devil Breaker arms to give him extra powers to take on evil demons such as the blood-sucking Flying Empusa and Giant Colossus enemy Goliath. Play as three unique playable characters, each with a radically different stylish combat play style, as they take on the city overrun with demons. There was a trailer at E3, you got to see Dante does return. And I believe Nero is the other playable character. I'm not sure who the third is. That might be Virgil, but I honestly am not sure. But I will say this, I am actually rather excited for this game. I really am. It seems like the stakes have been, you know, are higher here than they've ever been before, maybe at least in a long time. And I think it's going to be a really amazing game, and I mean that. I really do mean that. I look at this game and go, man, I think this is going to be pretty gosh dang impressive. You know, it's because there's been demon threats before, but to my knowledge, there hasn't been a threat this big. where literally a whole entire city is overrun, and it's demons of all kinds, shape and forms, and all that. Of course, unlike the other games of the series, the special effects and graphics are just, you know, higher than they've ever been before, which, if you really think about it, isn't a gargantuan shock with how these systems are nowadays. It's just the truth. And I think this might be the game that gets me back in the series. I mean that, because I've just been away from the series for a while. It's nothing personal to said series. I just haven't, you know, played it. I just haven't. You know, I've, you know, been busy with other games and other things. And I just haven't really had a chance to sink my teeth back in this series. I haven't been able to do that, you know? Like I said, I haven't played since Devil May Cry 1. I never played 2, 3, or 4, or the DLCs that came with them eventually. I just haven't done it. But I haven't heard a bad thing about this series. I really haven't. I think that's a good thing for a series, especially a series that's been around for a while and done some different versions. And I actually don't know if there's been any handhelds. I want to say there has, but don't quote me on that. But anyways, this is a series that, you know, kind of keeps getting better and better, it seems. And I really think this game is going to just take it to the next level. I really do. And just from what I remember seeing from the trailer, Dante, you know, looks like he's kind of been better. You know, like he's a little beat up. Maybe he's trying to be done with this whole, you know, devil slaying thing or demon slaying thing. And yet, you know, I think it's fair to say from just what I've seen of this game, I haven't seen some of the newest footage, but I've seen trailers of it and I've seen pictures of it. Things are more dire than they've ever been before. I mean, I think Nero wants to try to take it on his own with Nico, but I think I'm just going to guess here. He realizes that's not really possible. He realizes, no, I can't do this on my own. As much as I'd like to, as much as I wish I could, I really can't. And I don't remember if Nero learns from Dante or how he came into the picture. I know that I think it was in 3 or 4. I remember seeing a video where Dante shows up and kills a bunch of people. At least it looks like Dante. I don't think it turns out actually being Dante. I don't think so. But maybe that hurt his image too. Maybe that's why we don't see him as the main character in this game at first, or a playable character in this game at first. Maybe that's why people think, you know, he's just gone mad and is killing everybody left and right, which I don't think is the case. And I know that in the past, like, him and his brother have kind of had a, you know, rough relationship. I know that. But maybe I wouldn't be shocked if Virgil was a playable character, because, like I said, the stakes may be so high and most serious, where even Virgil realizes, hey, I need to help you guys out here, because if I don't, this whole city and maybe the whole world is just going to go poof and be destroyed. Maybe. It could be a possibility. So, yeah, I would definitely check out, there's a really good trailer from E3 still on YouTube. I want to say there is a few new ones. I didn't get a chance to check them out, but definitely, I think this game is going to be amazing. I really do. It's, of course, not going to be a game for kids. I'm sorry, it's just not. It's going to be very, very violent, you know, and lots of blood and gore and stuff getting blown off and things like that. So I don't personally think little kids should play that. That's just my opinion. But if you're a fan of the series, or if you've strayed away from the series for like me, this might be a game to get you back in the series. I really mean that. I really do think it's going to be the best in the series yet. And it looks, just from what I've seen and heard about it, that I think this game is going to take the series to new heights, to heights it hasn't been at before. And yeah, I would say definitely check it out. I know you can pre-order this game now on, you know, places like GameStop and you know, like Walmart and Target. I'm sure you can pre-order them on there, and there's special editions, I'm sure, as most of these games have. You can also, I want to say it's probably pre-orderable on the PlayStation Store, I want to say, like a physical copy. And there might be demos available too. I'm not sure about that. That I wouldn't quote me on, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was some kind of demo of sorts you could try out. It wouldn't surprise me. This game is coming out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One March 8th, 2019. Seems a little ways away, but you know what? It's almost 2019. So it'll be here before we know it. And like I said, I think I'm personally really pumped for this game and really excited for this game. And just to see, you know, how the story has evolved and changed and how it'll all play out. I mean that. I'm really, really excited for it. I think it's going to be just absolutely amazing, worth every penny, and a heck of a lot of fun. I mean that. I really, really do. Yeah, so Check it out. You said you can, you know, you can always go on the PlayStation website too, and you can learn more about it there. And yeah, it's just going to be an amazing game, I really think. So that's all the time we have for this episode. I had a lot of fun bringing all the really cool stuff to you. I hope you had a lot of fun listening to it. But don't worry, we'll be back real soon with more technology news. We'll be right back.